ברוכים הבאים רבותיי. Welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. We are studying tonight Parashat Vayera. Whenever we get to Parashat Vayera, or I should say these parashiyot, these are the richest parashiyot in the Sefer. There's so many episodes and stories, and there's so many different topics that the Darshan can speak about. You don't have to search too far in these parashiyot. Wherever you point, already it's filled and laden, it's chock full with Divrei Torah. But as I've told you for many years, I have a weakness when it comes to Parashat Vayera. I'm working on this weakness, to be honest with you. But I cannot go past Akedat Yitzhak. To me, this story is such an amazing story and such an awesome test of Avraham Avinu that my eyes automatically go to the end of the parasha. As much as I want to talk about other things, my nature pushes me to the Akedah. We've been giving the Shi'ur now for maybe 10 years, and every Parashat Vayera, it's Akedat Yitzhak. I hope one day B'zat Hashem I'll be recovered, and we could speak about something else. But in the interim, it's back to the Akedah. And trust me, every time we revisit it, there's new insights, and there's new ideas, and there's new concepts. Tonight, B'si'ata D'shmaya, let's go revisit and restudy it. I know you all know the story. This was the 10th and final test, according to most of the Rishonim, of Avraham Avinu. The fact that he was told by God to take his son, this is the son that he bore from Sarah, this is the son that God promised him great things from. Yitzhak Avinu was not a child, he was 37 years old. And now he has to take his son and put him on the altar and slaughter him as a human sacrifice. Avraham Avinu does not delay. Vayeshkem Avraham Baboker, he wakes up early in the morning. He takes Yitzhak, he takes all the equipment with him, and he goes to the place. The place was in Jerusalem. He builds the altar, he puts Yitzhak on the Mizbeach. He was tearing, he was crying at the time. Of course, it's a beloved son. But he put the knife to Yitzhak and he was ready to go through with it. Until the angel came from the Shemaim and said, oh, stop. And then everything became understood to Avraham. We didn't mean that you should sacrifice him. All God told you is put him on the Mizbeah, ha'alehu. Put him up, you put him up. Now take him down. You have passed the test. Avraham didn't understand it that way. He understood, put him on the Mizbeah to kill him. And he was willing to go through with it. So, the 10th test of Avraham Avinu, till today, we are still enjoying from this zechut of Avraham. Every single day in Shacharit, the prayers begin with Akedat Yitzhak. The centerpiece of the prayers of Rosh Hashanah is Akedat Yitzhak. It finds itself in the Musaf, a whole section called Zichronot on the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. That's main. The focus is, remember us today, God, because we're the children of Abraham that sacrificed his son. The question we ask tonight, if it's the 10th test, we could assume that it was the hardest test. In school, as you get older, the tests become more difficult. The test that you took in 11th grade, obviously, it's going to be more difficult than a test that you took in kindergarten or second grade. As you pass tests, you elevate yourself to the next level. In Hebrew, the word for a test is a nes. Nisayon. Nisayon comes from the word nes. Nes is a flag. A flag is something that's high. Because a nisayon elevates a person. You get promoted. I passed my tests in fourth grade. You get to the fifth grade. So a nes, and the sayon comes from the word nes, it elevates a person. So obviously, Avraham graduates to the highest level after the 10th test. And I ask you the simple question tonight, which I'm sure you've thought about it, what was the test of the Akedah? What was so great? Chas v'shalom, I didn't come to undermine what Avraham Avinu did. I came to understand it. What was so great that he showed the purity of his faith in God, that he listened, and he went, and he did it, and he didn't question. V'chi Avraham is the first person to ever sacrifice themselves or their child for God. There have been many stories in Jewish history of parents that Bar Minan had to sacrifice their own children against baptism, where the church came and said that they're going to Chas v'Shalom, turn the children into Christians, and the parents said, better our children should die Jewish than to have to be baptized, and they killed their own children. Is that not tantamount to what Avraham Avinu did? So why do we say, oh, okay, that Yitzhak, what makes this so great? And if you ask me, if I'm judging Avraham, I'd like to go back to the first test. Anybody remember the first test of Avraham? That was the fires of Ur Kasdim. To me, that's the greatest test. What happened? Avraham Avinu, at a young age, he was born in a non-religious family. His father was Terach. Terach was a non-believer. He believed in paganism. He believed in idolatry. He worshipped Avodah Zarah. Avraham, in that environment, he started to search. He started to question. He started to analyze. Avraham had a very clear mind. At a very young age, he came to the conclusion that all these things that his father were worshipping were havel havalim. They were all vanities. They were all a waste of time. And he came to the conclusion, there's a creator, Yesh Borei Olam, and he started to go out and preach this to others. Avraham Avinu was the first to promote in his time monotheism. They didn't believe it. He was talking to people that bowed to the dirt, that bowed to the sun and the moon. And here Avraham Avinu comes along against the whole world, and he's telling them, Shekhar Bechazav, there's one God, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. At the time there was the king called Nimrod. Nimrod himself believed in fire. At one point he believed he himself was God. And he also believed that the fire was God. So he got into a big debate with Avraham. Avraham in the debate tried to bring Nimrod back. As he's fighting him, he's trying to mekarev him. Nimrod got frustrated with Avraham and said, if your invisible God is there, let him fight against my God. I believe in the fire. So I'm going to throw you into the fire, and if your God is there, he'll save you from the fire. Avraham Avinu says, if you want to throw me into the fire, I accept, but I'm not going to change my beliefs. Nimrod takes Avraham Avinu and hurls him into the fiery furnace, Ur Kasdim. Avraham had no idea he's going to come out alive. Avraham had no idea that he's going to be fireproof and fire retardant. He thought at that moment he's going to give his life up al Kiddush Hashem. Miracle of miracles, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Avraham from the fire. I ask you, is that not a bigger test than the Akedat Yitzhak? I'll prove it to you that it's bigger. I'll prove it to you. What's my proof? Did anybody tell Avraham to jump into the fire? No. He did that voluntarily. He did that on his own. That was his own sacrifice. It made sense. He had a belief in God. This man was denying God. He said, it's worth it for me to give my life up. Fashim. Akedat Yitzhak, he was commanded. Once you're commanded, you're commanded. There was no doubt. He knew that God came to him. He heard the word of God. If God would come to any of us and say, listen, you have to do this mitzvah, maybe we would be a little nervous. Would we not listen to the word of God? If you're sure and undeniably that's God? So I say the Ur Kasdim was even bigger. This, he did it voluntarily. He did it on his own. Furthermore, look at the time that he jumped into the fire. At the time he jumped into the fire, Avraham was all alone in the world. It's not like he had a following. It's not like he had, you know, the fame and all the popularity and all the clout. This is the beginning of his career. So Avraham Avinu is on one side of the world, and everybody's against him, and still he jumps in. Here at this point of Akedat Yitzhak, he's older. He saw how many miracles God did for him already. He has a track record. He has followers. It's a little different, much harder to be the only one than at a time where everybody's doing it. Listen, it's much harder to be a tzaddik when you're living in a place where everybody's against you than already when people are, you're living in Bnei Berak, so everybody's doing it, so it's much easier. So why again is the Akedah touted as the hardest test of Avraham Avinu? What happened to Ur Kasdim? So I'm going to explain to you tonight the explanation based on the Zohar HaKadosh. This was a question that the Zohar had. It's an amazing thing. You learn this story for how many years, and everybody thinks you understand it. And then we ask such a basic question, what was the test? He said, I don't know, he sacrificed his son. Yeah, we don't say that that's not a test, but he did greater things. He sacrificed his own life. Many Jews sacrificed their children for God. What was unique about Akedat Yitzhak? So Zohar HaKadosh says one word. The test was the contradiction. This is the key. I explain. Until this point, the religion made sense to Avraham. Everything that he believed in, he was able to prove logically. There was no books in his time. There was no official yeshivas in his time. How did he find God? Logic. There's a cup. How did the cup get here? Must be there's somebody that created the cup. There's a table. Must be there's a builder. There's a world. Must be there's a God. Everything that he came up with was logical. It was sound. It made sense. God created the world to do chesed. God does chesed to mankind every day. Let me emulate God and do chesed. It made sense to Avraham. And that's great. When religion works with the sechel, it's fantastic. Because you always want things to make sense to you. You always want your religious beliefs to be logical. And until this point in Avraham's career, everything that he did, he could explain. Not only he could explain, he could explain it to a two-year-old. That's why he was so successful in his outreach. Because when you believe something is emet, you could sell it to somebody else. The best salesman is who? The one that believes in his product. If you truly believe in this product that it's good, you can sell it to anybody. Avraham Avinu was so successful bringing back people to Yahadut because it made sense. It's an easy sale. He could tell, hey, 1 + 1 = 2. Argue with me. 2 + 2 = 4. Who's going to argue? But all of a sudden, for the first time in the life of Avraham, he was now faced with a religion and a word of God and a commandment that now made no sense to him. God, you told me ki bi Yitzhak yikare lecha zara. You told me from Yitzhak is going to become my progeny. My seed is going to be built from Yitzhak. That's undeniable. I heard it with my own ears. That's the truth. I accepted it. And now you're telling me another truth that's also undeniable. Take this son and put him on the Mizbeach and put a knife to him. To Avraham Avinu, each truth was undeniable. But together, they're incompatible. If A is A, then B cannot equal B. These two truths cannot coexist. For the first time, Avraham was faced with a religion that he could not explain. All of a sudden, the clarity that he had for all those years, that lucidity, that everything was cold logic. And all of a sudden now Avraham is faced with something he cannot crack. It's a contradiction to the highest order. How could God tell me on one day Aleph, and on the next day, minus Aleph? The test was in the faith of Abraham to serve God, not when he understands him. That's relatively easy. In Ur Kasdim, yeah, it makes sense. There's a God. This guy doesn't believe. I'm willing to die for something I understand. There's people like that, idealists, that are willing to die for the cause. It's a great test. But to die for logic, it's one level. By the 10th test already, God now was challenging Abraham, now serve me when you don't understand what I'm telling you. Oh, that's a different madrega. Whereas Abraham at Ur Kasdim was in bright light. By the Akedah, he's in pitch black darkness. If a 3-year-old or a 30-year-old would come to Abraham, Abraham, could you explain me the contradiction of Yitzhak and then slaughter him? You know what Abraham would say? I don't know. That's your God? What kind of God is that? What kind of God do you have over here that one day tells you Aleph and then one tells you minus Aleph? What kind of business is this? And Avraham Avinu would say, I have no answer to this question. This is the it never happened to me, this. Avraham was always the one with the answer to everything. He was asked questions from every person that dealt with him. And he was able to answer their dilemmas. And all of a sudden he finds himself stuck in a debacle. He's baffled. He's confused. The Pasuk says, this is the Zohar bases it on. When Abraham is going to the Akedah, it says, Vayar et ha-makom merachok. He saw the place from far. As they got closer to the destination, all of a sudden they saw the spot where the Akedah was supposed to take place. Vayar et ha-makom merachok. They saw the place from far. The Zohar HaKadosh says, ha-makom in that Pasuk is not the place, the destination. Hamakom is God. Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu. God is called the Makom. God is the place. God is in every place of the world. God is called the Makom. He's Mekomo Shel Olam. Ve'en Olam Mekomo. Vayaret Hamakom. For the first time in his life, Abraham saw the Makom. He saw God Merachok, from far. Until now, God was always close to him. Until now, God was approachable. And all of a sudden, at the time of the Akedah, Vayaret HaMakom, Merachok. Now already it was foggy. Now already it lacked clarity. And he doesn't have an answer. And that's the biggest test of a person, that when he sees contradiction, and he sees stirot, and things do not sit well with him. At that time, that's when you're called to see who the believers are and who the non-believers are. To believe logic, it's easy to believe logic. If I would explain to you every mitzvah, good. But to do the mitzvot that you don't understand, or worse, this mitzvah contradicts this mitzvah. Just do it anyway. I don't understand it. I'm not going to do it. That's the test of Avraham Avinu. The way the holy books refer to it as, there's two types of emunah. Let me tell it to you like this. There's emunah through what's called hakira. You know what hakira means? Lahkor. Investigative. Emunah. That's somebody that wants to learn faith on his own. He wants to come to the truths on his own. He studies philosophy. He studies other religions. He compares. He weighs everything. And then he comes to the truth on his own and says, you know what? Atayadati ki gadol Hashem mikol Elohim. That's like Yitro. How did Yitro find God? He didn't have a rabbi. Yitro was an honest guy. He was a priest in Midian, and he started to question, hey, this doesn't make sense. Let's try this. He tried every single guy. He had a Rolodex from A to Z. He went through every single religion, and when it got to Judaism, he said, you know what, this makes sense. I like this. This is Emet. That's how Abraham also started. Avraham, he had no teachers. He had to come to it on his own. That's with rational thinking. But then there's another level, which is called Emunah Peshuta, which is really the higher level. Emunah Peshuta means, I believe because my father believed. Yeah, but what about this philosophical? Don't mix me up with philosophy. I don't know anything. I believe. My father told me we believe in God. I believe in God. Yeah, but there's a contradiction in the book over there of the guy to the perplexed from Aristotle. And I don't know about Aristotle. I'm not perplexed. My father told me there's God. We pray 3 times a day. We go to shul. We eat kasher. Yeah, but what if I tell you that today the kasher? I don't, you're confusing yourself. I'm not confused. I have emunah peshuta. Emunah peshuta, where logic finishes, that's where emunah peshuta, basic belief, begins. I'm going to tell you a big hadush now. This is key. We live in a society where people outsmart themselves out of religion. There's no chokhmah to ask questions. Everybody can ask questions. Oh, there's questions. What about this? And why this? And why? Answer me all my questions, then I'll contemplate if I'm going to be religious. No chokhmah. Questions, dime a dozen questions. If you look in the Amidah, we start the Amidah with the following statement. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu ve'elokei abotenu. Listen to these two concepts. These are two different concepts. Elokeinu, my God, and the God of my fathers. You know what these two statements are saying? Elokeinu means you have a right that your God should be your God. On your own, you studied, it made sense to you. He's my God. I found him. That's the first type of emunah. Emunah through hakira. Emunah through analysis. Through seeking reasons. But then we say, Veloke avotenu. But you're also the God of my fathers. Just to have rational belief is not enough. Your belief at some point has to be also peshuta. I believe because it's Elokei Abotenu. Because it's the God of my fathers. Because rational is good so long as everything makes sense in life. But once you're going to be thrown with a curveball, if your emunah peshuta is not in line, then you're going to fall, you're going to crumble like a house made out of cards. You're going to fall, you're going to waver. Emunah peshuta is the bedrock. Emunah peshuta, that's unwavering. That's unshakable, that's unnegotiable. And therefore emunah peshuta is the key. Rabbi, do I have a right to ask questions? Absolutely. Do I have a right to understand? Absolutely. Do I have a right to delve? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, we believe because we believe. Because there's going to come a time when you're not going to get an answer. And you're not going to be satisfied. And if your emunah peshuta is not solid, then chas v'shalom, the whole building is destroyed and collapses. Eloheinu! Absolutely. He's my God. I found him. Behe, v'elokei avotenu. He's the God of my fathers. You're religious because your father told you there's a God and your grandfather. And what about, that's it. Period. Sof pasuk. We say in the prayers, at the end of the prayers, this I just gave you is from the Amidah. At the end of the prayers we say, En kelohenu, En kadonenu, En kemalkenu, Enke Moshi'enu. What does that mean? Enke Elohim. There's nobody like God. There's nobody like our King. There's nobody like our Master. Period. Finished. What's the next line? Mike Elohenu. Mike Adonenu. Mike Balkenu. Mike Moshi'enu. Who is like God? What do you mean? You just said Enke Elohenu. And now all of a sudden you come along and say, Mike Elohenu. Make up your mind. Already you changed your mind? You just made a flat statement. En kiloenu. Finished. And then right away, mi kiloenu. Well, you have amnesia. You just said en kiloenu. Now already asking, you know what the explanation is? These are the two levels. First, you have to have emuna pishuta. There's no other God besides our God. Why? Kacha. Prove it. I don't got to prove it because my father told me. In kiloenu. Next subject. Once you have in kiloenu, now you have a right to start asking. Mi kiloenu. But explain me this. Why is that? Because once your foundation is strong, I'm not worried if you'll ask questions. Because even if you don't get satisfied, you'll always go back to the in kiloenu. But when you start with mi kiloenu, hey, that's the most dangerous. When you start with the questions, and if you could explain it to me, then I'll believe. Oh, it doesn't work like that. Because life doesn't always make perfect sense. That's why there are people that explore caves. You ever hear about these people? They explore caves. Now, exploring caves is very dangerous for the simple reason it's very dark in the cave, and the paths are very windy. What happens is the explorer goes in, but he gets lost and can't find his way out. He thinks in the beginning, no, I remember I made a left, I made a right, make a right, make a left, and he figures more or less, and all of a sudden he finds himself in a labyrinth. He finds himself lost, and God forbid it can be dangerous. So what do they do now? The explorers of the caves, they go into the cave, they have a 300-foot rope with them. And as they walk in the cave, they let the rope out. So no matter where they end up, they can always just retrace their steps by following the rope that they laid on the ground. That means before they enter, they have an exit strategy. They won't enter a place that they don't know how to exit first. That's the same thing in religion. You don't begin with philosophy if you don't have an exit strategy. Because when entering the philosophical parts of the religion and all the questions, if you're not going to be able to get an answer, you're going to get lost in it and you might not find your way back. So first you have to have an exit strategy. En kiloenu. Finished. I believe. No matter what you're going to tell me, I believe. Why? Because Elohe Avotenu. If the religion worked for Abraham, he was much smarter than me. And if it worked for Yitzhak, and if it worked for Yaakov, and I have a whole list of tzaddikim in the bookstore, there's a list of Shemot HaTzaddikim, a whole book of the names of the tzaddikim, and if the religion was good for all of them, I don't know nothing. My brain is not even at the level of the lowest of the Talmidim. If Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, the smartest man that ever lived, that's undeniable, if it works for him, I'm good. I accept because they believed in it. Oh, that's my exit strategy. So, now let's philosophize. No matter what you're going to tell me, I have my exit. In kiduhin. Now stop. Me, ma, mu, go, talk. Go. Make all the kushyot in the world. Even if you don't resolve it, I'm covered. In kiduhin. This is emunah peshuta. This is key. I'm proud to say, generally speaking, the Sephardim, in our countries, our belief was based on emunah peshuta. Even the one that wasn't so religious in the observance, but when the crusader or the one from the Inquisition came and said, bow down to the Avodah Zarah, he gave his life. Emunah peshuta. But those that got involved in the hakirot and in the questioning and the reasoning and the thumbs and unfortunately that was a very dangerous derech. Watch what I'm going to tell you now. Masechet Berachot is the first masechet where our Torah begins. The oral tradition begins in Masechet Berachot. The written tradition begins in Bereshit. Bereshit bara Elohim, that's the beginning. But the oral tradition begins Masechet Berachot. Those that study Daf Yomi every morning. When we started the Daf, where did you start from? The first Mishnah in Shas. And what is that? Me'e matai korin et shema be'aravin. Rabbeinu HaKadosh begins the law. From when can you read the Kiryat Shema of Arbit? It's the law of Kiryat Shema of Arbit. Some of you didn't pray Arbit yet. You're going to pray Arbit after the Shi'ud. That's the first law of Torah Shema'al Peh. When can you pray Shema of Arbit? And the Gemara says, whatever time that is. And then the Mishnah goes along and says, I could start it at, let's say, when the stars come out, and I could pray it until when? So the Mishnah gives me the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, oh man, Ad Sof Ashmura Rishona. Interesting. Why did Rabbeinu HaKadosh begin the oral tradition with Kiryat Shema Barbit? Why? 613 mitzvot in the Torah. Why did he pick this mitzvah? He could have started off with any mitzvah. Nobody told him what to do. You're writing the laws that. Listen, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, you have a project. Somehow you got to write all the 613 laws and put it in a book. Okay, b'chavod. Start with Shatnez. Start with Kashrut. Start with Shabbat. Start with Berachot. What's the Berachot of water? Start with that. You want to start with the prayers? I got a better one. Start with Shachrit. Don't we say Shachrit Mincha Arbit? The day starts of Shachrit. No. Kiryat Shema of Arbit. He didn't even start with the Amidah of Arbit. Shema of Arbit. Why is that the beginning of Shas? Furthermore, if I may be brazen to ask the following question to you. This is a question, you don't think there's an answer to this question, but there's an answer. The first rabbi mentioned in the Mishnah, all of the Mishnayot, the first rabbi that's mentioned is Rabbi Eliezer. He's the first name mentioned in the Mishnayot. Trivia question.
B'trumatam, Rabbi Eliezer Omer.
Rabbi Eliezer. Why did Rabbeinu HaKadosh put this rabbi as the first name? Zechut. Why did he get the honor to be the first rabbi? You want an explanation to this? You have no choice. You're stuck here anyway. You don't want to hear it, we'll talk to you anyway. I just tell you that to be polite. I'm going to tell you anyway. There's a big hadush I'm going to say now. Moshe Rabbeinu, he goes to Midian. He meets his father-in-law there. Yitro. Yitro ends up giving his daughter to Moshe. Tzipporah. But there's a Gemara that says before Yitro gave his daughter over, he made Moshe swear to him something. Always the fathers-in-law there. It's not so simple. Give me your daughter, Moshe Rabbeinu. You're going to make deals with Moshe Rabbeinu? You're going to get a son-in-law better than Moshe Rabbeinu? You've got to make a deal with him. Let's make a swear. Doesn't matter who the father-in-law is. If Yitro, what's the deal? The first son that you have, I don't want you to influence him. Let him find God like his grandfather found it. Let him search and find the truth on his own. This is it. Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu agrees. Amazing that Moshe Rabbeinu agrees to such a deal. It's an easier deal. Give me $1 million. That's easy. But now you're risking the first son. And let's say he doesn't find. And let's say he get, but it seems Moshe Rabbeinu, he's in the background. Okay, let my son go and search. That was the deal that he made. What does he call the first son? The first son is called Gereshom.
Why?
Ki ger hayiti be'eres nochriya. Because I was a stranger in a foreign land.
What is Moshe saying? The reason why I had to agree to this deal, I was a stranger in a foreign land. I was in Midian. Yitro made me the deal. I wasn't in Yerushalayim. Therefore, ger hayiti, and the child had to go with emunah of hakira. Gershon found God through the philosophy, like Yitro did. But Moshe Rabbeinu had a second son. The second son, Moshe Rabbeinu, was not going to allow to go searching. The son of Moshe doesn't have to search. The son of Moshe can believe in God because his father told him there's God. You can trust Moshe. Hence the second son, his name is what? Eliezer. Why? Ki Elohe Abi Be'ezri. Because the God of my father is at my aid. Eliezer is called Eliezer. Emunah Peshuta. Firm belief. Because Elohe Avi, because the God of my father. And Moshe's father was Amram. And my son believes in God because I told him and my father told me. Eliezer represents Emunah Peshuta. The Elohe Avi, like I told you in the Amidah, Eloheinu v'Elohe Avoteinu. That's Eliezer. Gereshom, that was a special deal. Luckily, Gereshom came around. With all the searching, he made it to the truth. Again, it wasn't such a risk, because Moshe was there, Yitro was there. He had insurance. If he would go off a little, they would put him back on track. But it was a dangerous path. Eliezer, Emunah Peshuta. Eliezer, why do you believe in God? Moshe, I don't know, my father told me. And Moshe, Elohe Abi. Now watch. Amazing. The pasuk says, "Lehagid baboker hasdecha." Ve'emunatecha balelot. What does it mean? To speak of the chesed of God in the day. Nagid baboker hasdecha. In the day we speak of God's kindness. But in the evening, ve'emunatecha balelot, we speak of emunah. You know what the pasuk means? In the day doesn't mean the day, 9 a.m. The day represents when things are clear. In the day, the sun shines. You can see everything. A tree is a tree. The street is a street. The sky is the sky. Everything is obvious in the day. The day represents clarity. The day represents life that makes sense. Things are going logical. So when things are going logical, Lagid baboker hasdecha. When things make sense, yeah, God is great. Has chesed, phenomenal. We love God. That's why in the morning, what do we say after Kriyat Shema? There's a paragraph. The paragraph says, Emet, v'yatsiv, v'nachon, v'kayam, v'yashav, v'ne'eman, v'ahop. You know what that, those words mean? It's right, it's correct, it's proper, it's just, it's good. Yeah, in the day when everything you can see, everything is full disclosure, full transparency, yeah. When life is like the day, it's emet, v'yatsiv, v'nachon, v'kayam, tov, v'yashav, everything's good. You know what the night represents? Darkness. Has v'shalom, when religion starts to not make sense, why did the tzaddik suffer? Why did the rasha prosper? God told me this on Monday, but how could it be if he told me this? He contradicted himself. This mitzvah makes no sense. Balelot, when the night comes and religion starts to become murky and cloudy and foggy, then you know what you have to rely on? Emunah. Now you got to have v'emunatecha balelot. At the time of darkness where you don't have clarity, that means that's when you need emunah peshuta. That means when Avram jumped into the fire, that was Babokir. He jumped into the fire because it made sense to him. Yeah, I believe in A is A, and God is God. He doesn't believe, and he wants to kill me for it. I'll die for it. Makes sense. Akedah Yitzhak happened at night. Now I'm serving God, and I don't even know what I'm doing. Because if A is A, then B can't equal. Now already Avraham Avinu had to pull in the reserves of Lagid Babok Evemunat Echab Balelot. That's why in Arbit. What do we say right after Kiryat Shema? In Arbit, Ve'emunah kol zot. At night, you better have emunah. It falls back into faith. When Rabbeinu HaKadosh started the Mishnayot, he had to start with what? In Kilohen. He has to start with the foundation of the Torah. You know what the foundation of the Torah is? Kiryat Shema Shel Arbit. Kiryat Shema is Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, the Shema in Arbit is the key. To come to the realization of one God when it's dark outside, that's to say Shema in Shacharit, Chazak Baruch. Everybody's healthy, everybody has money in their pocket, the world makes sense, there's no anti-Semitism, of course. Shema Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, the Torah begins with En Keloenu. Me'em atay kurin et Shema be'arbit. That's when you say Shema, in Arbit. When things are not so sensible, when things are not so understandable, when it's dark, that's the beginning of Emunah. And then the rabbi, the Bihu Darasi, was so prophetic. He said, which name, which rabbi can I put as the model? Which rabbi can I put in the Mishnah as the first rabbi to present this concept? The Bihu Eliezer. Because Eliezer, who is the Bihu Eliezer named after? Eliezer, the son of Abraham. Ki Elohe Avi Be'ezri. The first name in Shas reminds you, we believe in God because your father believed in God. Finished. I, with the question, that's not En Kelohenu. Rabbi Eliezer makes it to the first page of the Mishnah. He gets that title as the first rabbi in Mishnah because it fits with the concept. Guess what? If this is the foundation, at what age do we become obligated in mitzvot? 13. This was a hard question. No, I didn't realize it was a hard question. 13. Okay, wait, when you get bar mitzvah, that make it easier for you now? 13 years old is the bar mitzvah. That's when we first become mandated. Before 13, we're ketanim, it's voluntary. The father bears the responsibility. But once we reach the age of 13, that's considered maturity, we're obligated in the mitzvot. Ask yourself a question. What's the first mitzvah of the bar mitzvah boy? What's his first mitzvah? No. That's why I know you're going to say tefillin. No, it's not tefillin. It's not opening up the gifts. The first mitzvah, let's talk logic. You said right. When does the bar mitzvah boy become bar mitzvah? At night. Doesn't the day begin at night? That means the first at night, what's the first tefillah at night? Arbit. What's the first mitzvah from the Torah that hits the bar mitzvah boy? Kiryat Shema of Arbit. When a child becomes obligated in the mitzvot, the first mitzvah that we drill into his system, ve'emunatecha balelot. Start with the Kiryat Shema. Young man, you're young now, you don't know anything about life. You were pampered by your parents. You don't know all the complications of life, all the dilemmas, all the problems. You're going to get old one day. And you're going to also start to question, how come I didn't get married yet? Where's my parnasa? I want children. You're going to start to have questions. Hey, I'm religious. And God said, if you keep Shabbat, you make money. I'm keeping Shabbat. You're going to have a lot of questions on religion.
So we inaugurate the young boy into the religion, say Shema Arbit. Learn that you have to accept God even in the dark times, even at the times where it doesn't make sense. That's his first attraction to Judaism. But to your point, your reaction right away was tefillin. You're right to a certain degree. Isn't it strange? The kid is obligated in all the mitzvot. Why do we make such a big deal of tefillin? Is he not obligated in the other 613? He is. He's obligated in talet also. He's obligated in lulav. He's obligated to sit in the sukkah. But we always connect bar mitzvah, tefillin. What's the explanation? I'll tell you the explanation. Tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel rosh. Emuna peshuta, emuna hakira. The two tefillin represent the two levels of faith. Let's talk about tefillin shel rosh. The tefillin on the head represents things of the head. The head is rational. The head is sensible. The head is where we have a question, we have an answer. The tefillin on the head represents an emunah where it's through philosophy, through understanding. That's tefillin shel rosh. But what does tefillin shel yad represent? The hand is action. The hand doesn't think. The hand just does. It's without having to understand. The action is in the hand. The hand is more important than the rosh. The hand is emunah peshuta. Just do it. But Rabbi, why? Don't ask too quick. Just do it. Because I told you so. Just do it. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Just do it. Tefillin shorosh is emunah. Explain it to me. And now I'm going to tell you. That's why we make such a big deal with the bar mitzvah boy with his tefillin. Because that's the same concept. Make sure you have both. But which tefillin do you put on first? First tefillin shel yad. You just do things. Just do it. And then you'll understand it. So his first mitzvah at night is what? Kiryat Shema shel Arbit. The first mitzvah in the morning? Tefillin shel yad. Emunah, emunah. And what's the law when you take off your tefillin? Ladies, you wouldn't know this, you don't wear tefillin. Maybe some of you do, I hope not. But the mitzvah of tefillin, when you take the tefillin off, how do you take it off?
Head first.
First the rosh, and then the yad. Which means, you always have to have the yad. Even when you don't have the rosh. Even when you don't understand why, the yad has to be there. You don't do the opposite. You don't take the yad, because if you would take the yad off first, I would say, you put it on first, take it off first. Because then you'll be left with the head alone. That symbolizes only if you understand do. We say, no, even without the head, the yad is primary. And therefore you have to fulfill even where your understanding ends. That's the two mitzvot of the tefillin. Now we understand why Avraham Avinu's test was so great. The holy books tell us, and that was the greatness of Avraham. He didn't question. When did he question? After the Akedah's over. God tells him, take him down. All of a sudden, Amar bi Abba, I'm reading from the Midrash, Amar lo Avraham, Avraham tells God, Etmol Amar tali, Kibi Yitzhak Yikare Lechazar. Yesterday you told me, meaning before you told me, Yitzhak is my seed. V'hazarta v'amarta kachnat bincha. And then you tell me, take him as a sacrifice. Akshav ata omer lo li, al tishlach yadecha. Now you tell me, don't do it. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No. Kishamarti lecha kach, I told you to take him. Lo amarti lecha shechateu. I didn't tell you to slaughter him. Ela ha'alehu. Put him up on the mizbeach.
You put him up, Hazaka Baruch, now take him down.
Avram doesn't ask the question till after it's all over.
Listen, I have to explain something to you. I want you to... We don't have an audio of this, of Avraham. There's no soundtrack of Avraham talking over here. But I'm sure most of you, if you would put emotion to this, you would not do it the right way. We read this Rashi as if Avraham is like fed up. After it's all over, Nachilak, Borei Olam, make up your mind already. You told me one day this, one day that. No, that's not the explanation.
Avraham did the will of God without explanation. After it's all over, he comes with a humble disposition, like a servant that comes to his master that wants to understand. Now that I passed the test of Emunah Peshuta, please, could you explain me the pshat now? I passed the test. Now could you just give me an understanding?
That's Emunah Peshuta. Now, you might ask a question. Avraham was so smart, he couldn't figure this out himself. I mean, if you get the answer, such a simple answer. What did God tell Avraham? Ha'alehu le'ola. Lift them up for an ola. Now, you're right. At first, listening, he said, wait, slaughter him. But wait, he didn't say slaughter. He said, put him up. Put him up, put him down. Such an easy answer. It's like after you hear the answer, you kick yourself. How come I think that's a place? No Kabbalah over here. God didn't tell Avraham, according to the Sefirot, tell him all that. He didn't confuse him with all that stuff. He told him that. Let's go back to the words. I didn't say v'shachateu. You're right. I didn't say v'shachateu. You know what the explanation is? Why Avraham didn't understand it? That's what a test is. That's what a nisayon is. At the time of test, even the most obvious answer is taken away from you. And most of the tests of life where you think it's the biggest question and the biggest dilemma, when God's going to come and give you the answer, you know what you're going to say? Why didn't I think of that? Unbelievable. So I'll sit right in front of my nose. But otherwise it wouldn't be a test. At the time of the test, God removes the wisdom from you in order to put you in darkness to see if you're going to be loyal to Him regardless. But you have to know there's an answer. And the answer's in front of your nose. And it's obvious. And when God's going to give it to you, you're going to say, wow, Peshita, oh, how'd I miss it? We are... Let me explain to you like this. The Zohar HaKadosh says, when God created Adam HaRishon, Adam was all neshama. He was filled with all the neshamot of the Jewish people. 600,000 neshamot. Could you imagine how great Adam HaRishon was? He had neshamot in his head. He had neshamot on his arm. The whole body. The holy books tell us our generation is called Dor Ikbeta de Meshicha. Our generation is called the generation of the footsteps of Mashiach. Already you can hear the pitter-patter of the steps of Mashiach. Already we're at the end of a long exile. It's called the door of Ikbetad de Mashiach. The holy books say, you know why it's called the footsteps or the heel of the Mashiach? Because all the neshamot of Adam HaRishon, they came out in different generations. The early generations came from the head. The later generations came from the torso, from the arms. These neshamot came out into the generations. They all were in Adam. And you know where our generation comes from? From the heel. It's the bottom of the generation. Oh, the last generation is the bottom part of the body. What's the bottom from the head? The bottom part is the heel. The heel is the darkest part of the body. It's on the ground. It never sees light. The heel is in darkness. Our neshamot are from the Ekev of Adam HaRishon. Dor Ekbetad de Meshi'at, from the Ekev. And we are faced in our generation with more tests and more nishyonot than any other generation in the world. In history. The Yetzer Hara is rampant. And in our generation, if a Jew still holds on to his emunah, with all the nishyonot and all the questions,
That's the greatest zechut. That even if a door that's an ekev, we cling on to emunah even after 2,000 years of galut. We read the history of the Holocaust. We saw the atrocities of World War II. We have so many thousands of years of anti-Semitism and injustice. This load is on our back. We have the video, we have everything. We see it. And for our generation to still, with all this, and we still have emunah, this is what the Pasuk says. There's a Gemara that says, anytime you see the word vehaya, I'll give you a secret now. Anytime you see the word vehaya in the Torah, en vehaya ela lashon simcha. Always when you see the word vehaya, it's happy. Next time you run into the word vehaya, Rabbi said it's happy. En vehaya ela lashon simcha. You know what the Pasuk says? Vehaya ekev tishme'un. And it'll be when you will listen to the word of God. You know what the depth of the Pasuk means? Vehaya, it's a great simcha. It's going to be a great joy. You know what the joy is going to be? When Ekev, when the generation of Ekev, when the generation of the heel, the final generation, our generation, Tishme'un. God says, even after all they went through, and the daughter of Ekev is still loyal to my tradition, Emunah Peshuta, they're not questioning, they don't have criticism, they don't have cynicism, they don't have She'elot and Kush. And when did this happen? It all started from Abraham. Emunah Peshuta was given to us on that day when Abraham was faced where he saw God merahok. And he came along and said, doesn't matter. We listen to the word of God, the answer will get after it's all over. Now I have to go do my job dutifully. Now I have to be obedient. And what does God tell Abraham after all Akedah is over? Unbelievable. After the Akedah is all over. God says, Ki barecha barechecha. I'm going to bless you. Barbar ve'zaracha. You're going to have a lot of children. Ve'shamayim, like the stars. Ve'chahol ha'shesvatayim, like the sand on the beach. Ve'yiraz zarachat sharo'yimav. Ve'tbarechu be'zarachat kol goyi ha'ares. Ekev! Asher shamata Abraham be'kodi. God tells Abraham, you know, I'm going to reward you because you fulfilled my word when you were in the state of Ekev, when you were in darkness, when you were like the heel that never sees the sunlight, that's pressed to the ground in darkness. I'm rewarding you for this test after Ur Kasdim. He didn't get this blessing. Ur Kasdim, you did that in the daylight. It made sense to you to do it. But this you did in darkness. God tells Abraham, Ekev asher shama Abraham bekoli. And we are door of Ekev. This is us. The test of Abraham is like the generation of Jewish history. The tenth test is the final test of Abraham, which is the final generation before the end of time. We are in this generation of the tenth test of Abraham Avinu. With all that has transpired before us, and look at this, we still come on a Thursday night, we still want to hear the word of God, we still want to learn, we still want to understand, we still want to grow, and at the end of the day, Elohe Abotenu, the God of our fathers, Elohe Abi, this is something we inherited from Abraham Avinu. And just like Abraham Avinu was blessed because of his Emunah Peshuta, Be'azat Hashem also, we will prevail because of this Emunah. It's not wrong to ask questions. You're allowed to understand. You're allowed. But first, it's with the En Kiloheinu. That's your exit. First, you must lay the rope. Now you can enter the cave. But before you have your exit, it is very dangerous to enter because you don't know if you'll make it out. En Kiloheinu, then Mi Kiloheinu. And that's how the Torah begins. Me'matai kurin et shema, be'aravin. Kiryat Shema, when it's dark, that's when you have to say Shema. And that's Tefillin Shel Yad. Tefillin Shel Yad is just do it. But my arm doesn't think. We don't want you to think. Just do it. But Tefillin Shel Rosh, that's also good. But you could take off the Tefillin Shel Rosh, but the Yad always has to stay on. It comes on first, and you take it off last. That's the Ikar. And that's the way we inaugurate every Bar Mitzvah boy. Ve'emunat Echad B'Leilot, And with the mitzvah of tefillin yiratzon. You see, every year we go open the akedah. Did I disappoint you? Every year we open up the akedah. Boom! Another hadush that jumps off the. I don't know if there's a story in the Torah that lends itself to more enjoyment or more revelation than the parasha of the akedah. And guess what? I'll give you a preview. We're going to talk about it again next year. Again, b'zat Hashem. Okay, Baruch Amar Olam, Amen, Amen. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Shamer, Baruch Hu Kol Yisrael, Lepi Kaiyuman Zulaiman Machafes, Zman Tzidko Yadir Torah VeYadir.